Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Did you like how the president mentioned his building across the street from the United Nations before launching into his information?
Do you mind if we listen to that? A.B. Stoddard is joining us. A.B., I know, A.B., you probably heard this, but let's just play it again because I found this kind of important. You know, he's at the United Nations. This is his first speech as President of the United States. Right. And here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I actually saw great potential right across the street, to be honest with you. And it was only for the reason that the United Nations was here that that turned out to be such a successful project.
You know, I just want to stop on that for a moment. Just a moment of silence for the honor and decorum of the presidency. If we could just, the passing of that. Why is everything about a real estate transaction with a guy?
He's a businessman first. He can't resist it.
Yeah, that's the channel that he's on. And I don't think it can change.
How was that received, though? I mean, it seemed like everyone didn't say a thing about it, I guess.
I don't think anyone who's gathered, I'm here in New York avoiding the UN General Assembly traffic. Yeah. And I don't think anyone here from any official capacity from any country, friend or foe, is surprised at this point, 8 months in, by anything Donald Trump says or tweets. I think that, you know, they are ready for full on teleprompter Trump, rude Trump, go rogue off the talking points Trump and anything in between, because you know, they've seen this now for almost, you know, a really long time, not only in the campaign, but since obviously November 9th and after his inauguration. And I just don't think anyone, this is not going to shock them. I mean, they've seen what happened at NATO conferences. This is old news now.
Here's what we learned. I think we've kind of always known this, but here's what we know, I think, beyond certainty. Is that Donald Trump hasn't really thought about these issues, the issues of the UN. I mean, he's got talking points. He's listened to Limbaugh and other people over the years decry the United Nations, and that we're just a puppet of them. We pay for them, and they do all the bidding for liberal nations around the world, and blah 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 blah. It's an ancient and tried trope of about the United Nations forever. But if you're sitting around without water and no toilet seat, you know, the United Nations looks pretty good to you right about now. The reality is that he, other than those kinds of talking points, he doesn't really know what that organization does or the legacy of it, which is why that's all he could say. That's his small talk. By the way, I was building a building across the street from it. And I think it just indicates that he doesn't, the grand issues, he knows what the emotional reaction to the grand issues is, but the details of it are inconsequential to him. And my guess is he's starting to get that he might need to know more about those things, which is why his behavior, I think, has been a little different. Although this weekend, notwithstanding, it's been a little bit different. His Twitter stuff is still kind of goofy, but I want to get to the big bizarre New York Times story today.
Yeah.
About the two lawyers, the outside lawyers, including his new counsel, Ty Cobb, the grandson, right? The grandson or grandnephew, grandson, I think, of Ty Cobb, the baseball player. He's got a big beard and mustache. He's a flourishy guy. He's one of those, he looks the part of, you know, if you had to cast a guy in a movie to play some flamboyant lawyer, he'd be the guy. So he's sitting outside at BLT Steak in Washington, D.C., just a stone's throw away from the White House. And he's complaining publicly, sitting outside at a table, to another lawyer about Don McGahn, essentially, who is the White House counsel. And that Don McGahn is, in the words of this overhearer, was a spy. And he's got others. And there may be other spies in the White House legal department. And they, you know, that they're holding things at bay against them. Now, the White House lawyer, the White House, the legal counsel to the president, it works for the government. He's there for you and me. He's not there necessarily for the president, right?
Well, so in a Trump administration, the usual definitions don't apply. So it's a Don McGahn, when Comey was fired, he couldn't stop Trump from using. Remember when Trump said in the letter, which we learn now wasn't the original letter, but he said, "Thank you for telling me three times I'm not under any investigation," which is something that Don McGahn would have never allowed. But, you know, I don't know how. All I know is that the original sort of overwhelm of the Russia probe, it became very clear that that Don McGahn and the others couldn't handle it, and they needed to have outside people come in. And Mark Kasowitz came in, and then he left. And now we have the others. Jay Sekulow came and sort of, I don't know where he's hiding now.
But Jay Sekulow is a separate issue.
People were brought in to be grown-ups and sort of get this whole thing straight, stop the president and son-in-law from talking with each other. They were supposed to bring the A-game and sort of calm down the children. And the fact that they would end up, that they're all sort of still leaking out to get each other, and they are leaking. Most of the stuff we learn about this stuff is from inside the White House and the legal team advising people within the White House staff and the president and the kids and stuff. So the idea of the two of them sitting there and having this conversation about these petty gripes and people hiding stuff from each other and everything is really astonishing, because they were the ones that were going to come in, see this from 30,000 feet, clean up the act and make sure that the president was protected in the best way. And it almost looks like it was intentional. BLT's stake is literally steps from the New York Times Bureau. Like, you know, there's New York Times Bureau, and then maybe there's one more door address and doorway, and then there's BLT stake.
Do you think that intentional or real sloppy? I would think. I mean, just what? I mean, why would they talk about such serious matters when they know that that area would be a place that reporters would be, and other connected individuals?
It's amazing. It's amazing. But it's the whole thing is very dysfunctional. The piece that we saw, remember last week, about how someone wanted to get Jared Kushner out, but then the other lawyers were saying, no, it wasn't me. I guess it turns out it was Kasowitz, one of the first attorneys who left. But all of this kind of petty gripes out, leaked to the press and stuff, it's obviously not serving the president well. And I think it's, you know, since he hires the best people, I think it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Suicide by reporter. We've seen this a number of times in this. These last 8 months, 9 months now.
Well, Scaramucci, you talking about one of the recent examples?
Yeah. Oh, he was a very good example. Almost all of them have said something. Bannon committed suicide by reporter, right?
Oh, this is how they survive. I mean, look, they're all out. There's different feuding, you know, factions, and they do that on purpose. That's why Breitbart writes stories now that Bannon is out, and he obviously has big beefs with Jared Ivanka and thinks they're evil Democratic globalists or whatever. But so they write stories about how, you know, insinuating that Jared and Ivanka are always leaking to the New York Times and the mainstream media. Everyone is playing a media game. They're leaking to their own set of reporters, and then they're trying to bust other leaks and, you know, bring that up with the president and have gripes about other leaks when they're, you know, when the other separate camp is leaking. This has been this way all along. It's the leakiest White House. And I think, you know, there was a recent example within the last week of the Justice Department not permitting some FBI agents who might have known about Comey's interactions with Trump from talking to the intel committees in Congress. And Mueller's investigation, it's not that the turf wars between Mueller's investigation and Congress stems from Mueller's concern that the leaks are coming, obviously, potentially from Congress, as well as the White House legal team. And if he wants to get to witnesses and surprise them or whatever, you know, investigators do, not have the witnesses have learned everything from the press, you know, he's going to need to choke off the chain of witnesses to the committees. But this leaking issue is enormous. It is really prevalent, and it's obviously not going away. That whatever dysfunction creates the leaking is still going on.
Very quickly before we let you go, Russia on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how it is going to affect the rest of 2017. Do you think Russia, the Russia probe is going to be bad for the presidency, neutral, or not of consequence?
I really do see it in intensifying. I mean, you see the hiring of more lawyers for people in the White House, and then you see Mueller, you know, hiring more money laundering experts, financial crime experts, and they're really zeroing in on obstruction of justice, financial crimes, and then perhaps the subpoena to Facebook indicates that they presented a judge with probable cause of a crime and believe, and you know, maybe there's a connection to someone in the Trump campaign universe to the Russian advertising, you know, purchasers on Facebook. But at the very least, you can tell that Mueller's focusing on obstruction of justice. Perhaps these a false statement given about the Don Jr. meeting from June of 16, and the firing of Comey, and financial crimes dating back many years, and that it's clear that the investigation is deepening. I'm not saying that I know what they're going to find, but it doesn't seem to be getting less complicated. It seems to be getting more complicated.
I'm going to put you down for a 7.5. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There you go. Thanks, AB.
AB Stoddard, the great AB Stoddard. Thank you from Real Clear Politics. You can read her and see all the stuff at Real Clear Politics, which is really a great website for all these things. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.